Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Here's an update on the Mueller report. It is being released at this moment, or has just been released a couple of moments ago, I should say. It was released to members of Congress at 11 o'clock straight up, and what Attorney General Barr had said earlier was that he was going to release it to the general public sometime after it was released to Congress. Now we're being told that it is publicly available. We are starting to print the executive summary, and we'll start to bring you details of that cautiously very shortly to let you hear the first of Robert Mueller's own words rather than the spin or the characterization that we got from the Attorney General at his news conference over an hour ago. But we do want to take a few minutes for our reporters to be able to read it and to bring you something meaningful about it, not to just be completely like cable news breathless just because it's out. It's a 400-ish page report. We're going to digest a little bit of it, and then we're going to come back to you on this in just a few minutes. And in the meantime, what we're going to do is continue with this third and final week of our April series, Reefer Managed, where we've been covering all things weed, which continues through tomorrow ahead of our three-hour national call-in on Saturday called Ask a Legal State, when we will do just that. We will connect New Yorkers and New Jerseyans, where we're considering legal weed, with people in Colorado and California and elsewhere, and ask people from legal states about the highs and lows and best and worst ways to go on marijuana law. That's Saturday from noon to 3. But right now, what we want to do is give those of you a chance who have been thinking about this topic through the weeks of our series or anyway, a chance to tell us if your thoughts have been changing more in the direction of being pro-legalization or more away from the direction of being pro-legalization, or with what conditions. We certainly heard that other states have not put a lot of criminal justice pieces into this or social justice pieces into this, like having a lot of advantages for people from communities that were disproportionately affected by the years of criminalization. And people in the New York state legislature and the New Jersey state legislature, in some cases, are trying to hold out for that and break new ground in these states before they sign on to legalization. Other people have other questions, other conditions. So we're going to ask you now, as you've listened to our series over these past almost 3 weeks, or anything else, as the debate has gone on very actively in both New York and New Jersey for a while now, and both governors are hoping for votes in just a matter of weeks, have you become more pro-legalization or less pro-legalization? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And to set this up, we're going to play a few clips from a debate that we had on the show last Friday on cannabis legalization versus cannabis decriminalization. And it's interesting about the word decriminalization, that used to be the progressive position, decriminalize marijuana. But now it's a word being used by opponents of legalization. I think that they think that this is the best that they could get now, is decriminalization, and that they'll sign on to the idea that, you know, not every kid, especially Black or Latino kid, because it's been so disproportional against them, should go to jail or get any kind of criminal record for using cannabis, but that the harms, in their opinion, of legalization and the further dissemination of the drug would be harmful. So the debate has officially become legalization versus decriminalization, but it's still really, I think, in real terms, legalization or not. So on one side of the debate that we had last week, Maria McFarland Sanchez Moreno, executive director of the Drug Policy Alliance, argued that cannabis should be fully legalized. Here's 24 seconds of that.
Overall numbers of arrests in the states that have legalized have declined dramatically. It did not happen in New York when it decriminalized. You still have, like I said, in 20 years, 800,000 plus arrests. Drug possession as a whole is the single most arrested offense in the United States. People are arrested for drug possession four times as often as for all violent crimes combined. Is that a good use of law enforcement?
Maria McFarland Sanchez Moreno. And on the other side, Kevin Sabet, founder of Smart Approaches to Marijuana, that's the anti-legalization group, argued that cannabis should only be decriminalized. Here's 30 seconds of him.
Federal law, it means it's all of this is illegal, any state that's doing it. The FDA is not looking at it at all. And we don't know what's in it. And the black market, the underground market, is thriving in legal states. The idea that drug dealers, when you legalize it in a state, say, oh, you know what, we're going to go pursue dental school now. We're done with our drug dealing. No, they sell to the people the legal market won't sell to. They sell to the kids under 21. You still have a thriving black market with some of the largest segment of users because there's an age limit. You also have these guys that are undercutting the drug dealers, undercutting the legal price because it's taxed, because people think, well, we're going to make some money off of it, which I'm still waiting for the alcohol, tobacco, and other revenue to fix our schools.
All right. So we heard a little recapitulation of the debate that we had about legalization versus decriminalization. So how about for you folks, as we've done our 3-week series on cannabis called Reefer Managed, 10 states are now managing legal cannabis. New York, New Jersey, among other states, are considering it. Have you become more pro-legalization, more anti-legalization, or more pro, but with certain conditions that are now more clear to you? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And George in Inwood, you're on WNYC. George, thank you for calling.
Thank you. First time caller, long time listener. I'm happy to be on.
Glad you're on.
I'm calling because I am born and raised from Inwood in New York, and I'm a Latino. Older millennial, and throughout my life, this has been since the age of 15, I have been a user. I use marijuana to deal with life, deal with my, you know, things going around my community, stay out of trouble, focus in college, get through college, you know, and now I have a family and I have a house, and, you know, I've been able to, in my experience, excel a little bit because I had that outlet. And 2 years ago when it was legalized medically, I tried to see if I could get into business in the dispensary, and I did some research, and it's just preposterous that a person like myself will have to spend $10,000 just to submit the application and another $200,000 to, if it's approved, to be able to operate the dispensary in New York State. And it's just out of reach for a Latino like myself who has been constantly harassed and pushed around by police, because this is something that's part of my culture growing up in the city as an urban kid. And this is unfair that it's legalized and only Caucasians and people that are well off are only the ones that are going to be able to get into this business.
So do you want to hold the legalization decision for a time when the legislature is really able to come up with a better distribution based on social justice and based on all that past that you were just describing, to distribute who gets franchises, retail stores, and otherwise into the business?
Yes, I really do, because if we don't make sure that it's fair for us Latinos and black individuals that are part of the city as well, it's just going to create a bigger problem where, you know, the poor are just going to get poorer and the rich are going to get richer. Mm-hmm. And how are we going to get out of this situation? And I think marijuana is a great opportunity for us to, you know, kind of get ourselves out of poverty with something that has been affecting us and has been keeping us in poverty for so many years.
George, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. And Will in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Will.
Hey, How's it going? I used to live in Seattle where it was completely legal, and now I live here in New York where it's only decriminalized and it's a black market. And it's so amazing to be able to be treated like a customer and be able to purchase normally. And my loophole is I actually travel out there, purchase my marijuana legally, bring it back to New York where you can carry up to an ounce. I've never had issues at the airlines. I've never had issues here in New York with it. And that's sort of the loophole I have to jump through just to be able to use marijuana.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you have any sense from living in Seattle what the effects of legalization have been?
People are coming out of the woodwork and just being able to enjoy something that is, you know, out everywhere already. The only problem with legalizing it is that everyone now is treated as a criminal, whereas out there, it's, you know, it's not like everyone's walking the streets just huffing and puffing. I mean, people just are respectful. They still do it, you know, sort of out of view. You can't smoke it in public, so people are enjoying it in private. It hasn't created a menace, and nobody's, you know, the rates of, like, high driving are not skyrocketing out there.
Well, thank you very much. Joanne and Edison, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I actually work with about 12,000 young people, and in the last, this whole issue has come up. I hear kids saying, yeah, well, I'm going to start a cannabis business instead of, you know, pursue other opportunities. So it's being looked at as a magical thing on one side. I am for decriminalization. I don't think it's a drug that should send people to jail. But I do think it's a leader drug, and I don't think that we're ready for it. How do we know how high somebody is behind the wheel of a car? I don't see it. I don't see the tests out there to determine that. And I see my own sons and their demotivation. They already think it's legal. They're, you know, they're both in college, but I watch. And I did, you know, I want to comment on Governor Murphy when I am really a firm supporter, except for on this issue. And when somebody said, well, you know, what do you do when your son asks you, hey, Dad, let's go to Red Bank and get some marijuana. And he kind of like, you know, choked a little and says, well, you know. Well, he has the resources to keep his kids, you know, off the black market or out of trouble. I spoke to my cousin last night whose kids started with marijuana. And he is, in fact, you know, troubled by heroin. I mean, there are not resources out there for the kids that are addiction prone. And so I don't see it. I don't see any resources. I see this as some kind of magical thing, and I feel the rich will get richer.
So you're primarily, though, afraid of, with greater use, if it's legal, will come more of the downside that's so ruinous to those people. People get into traffic accidents or people who become dependent, that the upsides, the criminal justice and social justice upsides, for example, are not worth it to you because of your fear of the effects on the people for whom it's going to be bad.
Right. And I also feel that the younger the brain is, the more tainted cannabis. You know what I mean?
If you're, and it would only be legal for sale if you're over 21 in both states.
Well, and I understand that. But so is alcohol. And what is the average age that kids start drinking on campus? So it's the same thing. It's a lot easier to hide marijuana.
Joanne,
thank you.
Thank you very much. Ethan in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Ethan.
Hey, how you doing? I'm a longtime listener. Love your show. I want to commend you on doing great work.
Uh-huh.
I'm a New York City paramedic, and I've seen the negative effects. And I want to make this clear. Oh no, Yada Lord. I want to make this clear. I have seen several people that have fallen on tracks, on train tracks, from taking a new strand of weed. The weed is not the way we grew up. When I grew up, weed was, you know, my friends would get high, and it was okay. We were all right. The new weed now, a lot of people can't handle it. It's like a stronger THC. So they would just be so mellow that they would fall on track. It would hit them at a later time where they're unable to function. And then here I am coming as a paramedic. I'm like, well, you know, what are you on? I'm like, oh, I just smoked weed, which is nothing serious, but we're seeing the negative effects of this. So growing up with weed and weed around me, I see the, you know, why people are like, oh, no, it's a safe drug. It's a safe drug. But with these new strands that are being introduced, these, you know, hybrids, these, you know, with stronger THCs and more potent without being regulated, I mean, once they're legalized, that they're, oh, let's just start, you know, merging them together without no FDA regulation to say, wait, let's just make sure that this is safe to use. You know, we're having all these problems that I'm seeing on the New York City streets.
So do you come down then anti-legalization as a result, or do you think that you're going to see those problems anyway, and the criminalization of marijuana just makes these things worse?
The criminalization of marijuana should not be there at all, but it should be regulated. I'm for the legalization, but we should not.
What kind of regulations could prevent the effects that you're seeing as a paramedic?
Stop crossbreeding. We're crossbreeding marijuana strands that we don't understand what's going on, and we're selling it to the public. If you go to California, there's 100% THC. What are you doing?
Huh.
Are we meant to have all of this in our bodies?
Oh, that's
Let's
interesting, and it's a topic that we haven't even really dealt with in the series. Just like there are different proof levels for alcohol.
Exactly.
You're saying that should be regulated with respect to marijuana, and there would be limits or at least very clear labeling.
Exactly, because if you go to California, oh, yeah, I'm going to take something with 80% THC. I should be fine. How do you know you're going to be fine? You know, what level of high do you get from being like that? Are you able to function at 80%? Are you able to function at 100%? You give me 20% or 10%, I'm okay. But anything above that, we don't know.
Ethan,
I do not take anything right now. I want to make that clear. But before that, you know, that's what used to, you know, be the level.
Ethan, thank you so much for your call, and good luck out there as a paramedic.
Thank you very much, and keep up the great work. I really appreciate you guys. I listen to you guys every day.
Thank you very much, sir.